The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning and welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you this morning on a Thursday. It's Thursday, January 29th, and we are live and local here in our studio and a balmy 4 degrees outside. You might be waking up. It's cold. It's cold again. It's going to be cold again tomorrow. We kind of get used to that now. I guess the big news that I heard yesterday is that big storm off the East Coast. Sounds like it's basically going to miss us this weekend, which boo-hoo. We've had enough snow for a little while. We'll take a break from this one and let Cape Cod take most of this. It looks like that's the way it's going to go. So we'll get that weather forecast in just a moment. John Perrault is my guest here this morning, Executive Director of the Berkshire Humane Society.
Sean, how's it going today?
How are you? Good to see you. And
when I get in my truck this morning, -3.
-3.
In my truck. Yeah. So it is certainly cold out there, which the first thing I'd have to say is make sure your pets are inside.
Yeah.
You can let them out to go to the bathroom. Just short, quick bathroom breaks and bring them in. It's too cold for everybody outside today.
Don't let them
today.
Loiter outside.
And Do not.
We're going to talk about that and so many other things about the Berkshire Humane Society and the status of adopting pets right now and lots of other stuff going on, pet food and pet food drive-throughs, all kinds of good stuff you got going on there.
Got some numbers to share for what we've did in 2025, some impact statement.
Let's do that.
Numbers, and so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, this is going to be great. Looking forward to it as well. First, let's get to our weather forecast and see what the National Weather Service has in store for us today.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Cold weather advisory in effect from 7 p.m. this evening to 11 a.m. EST Friday. Today, partly sunny. Cold with highs around 16. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Gusts up to 25 miles per hour this afternoon. Wind chill values as low as 9 below this morning. Tonight, mostly cloudy in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Cold with lows around 5 below. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Wind chill values as low as 24 below. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Oh, wind chills 24 below. Ouch.
Oh.
That's one thing. At least the last few days, the wind has not been quite as bad as it was. I mean, we've had some cold weather and a little bit of breeze, but nothing like that. That is nasty.
It is.
So, yeah, once again, John Perrault from the Berkshire Humane Society. Those cold weather, that's the first thing I think of. And I say this in the morning, too, when I hear about it's going to drop so low. Don't leave the pets outside. And even the amount of time they need to go out and do their business and come back in, they might want to be out there longer, right? I mean, pets have sort of dogs, and they want to be out there. Some dogs probably.
You get your Nordic breeds or your very thick-coated breeds that you think they're going to be okay out there, but not in this weather.
Yeah.
No one's okay out there in this weather. And so, again, you want to make sure that, you know, you just bring them out, make sure everybody's on a leash. Let him go to the bathroom, bring them in. They'll appreciate that. Maybe you can do some, give them an extra occupier in your home, which is maybe some type of toy that keeps them occupied, or maybe play with them inside, or maybe do a quick training session in your basement or garage or something like that. But you certainly do not want to spend time outside, which also, you know, we had that storm last weekend, right? And we have seen more larger snow banks now than we've seen in years.
Right.
And I was coming down a couple side streets, and I couldn't even get – two cars could even go down one street because of some of these side streets here in Pittsfield, and which reminds people that there are out there, they're walking their dogs, or if they let their cat out, they have an indoor-outdoor cat, that as people are coming down the road, not only is it tougher to stop these days, people should be driving slow, but not everybody does, but they can't see what's coming out from around those snow banks either. So for your safety as well, you want to make sure all of our animals are restrained, and you're really careful if you are walking down the road to let your dog go to the bathroom. It's really, really important that the other thing is ice, right? We got a lot of ice right now. So a lot of streets, the city's doing a great job by keeping our streets safe.
Yep.
A lot of salt and sanding. And along with that comes salt, which is an irritant to your dogs or your cat's feet, your pads of their feet. they can get burnt, and then your dog or cat appears to be lame. You think, oh my God, they're blow a cruise ship, or you know what's going on. You bring it to the vets, and it's really a burner irritant on their pads.
Like a chemical burn.
So you could save yourself some money and just make sure that if you do go out in freshly treated streets or walkways, when you come in, warm water, put your pet's feet in the bucket and dry them off really well. And the other thing that happens...
That's enough to clean it off?
Yep.
Just a little more. It doesn't need to be soap or anything like that?
Nope. Warm water, get it in there, and then dry it with a nice towel. You should be fine.
And if you're buying salt or something for your own steps or walkways or
pet
things...
Pet Safe. Yeah. There's so many brands out there
that's
now.
Really important.
I know Car Hardware's obviously has some of that as well.
I think Car Hardware actually has a brand
their,
of it.
They have their own brand, right?
That's made here in Berkshire County.
Yep. And that's what I use, and it actually works really, really well. Mm-hmm. But also... A lot of times, if you don't get to them quick, they tend to lick their feet because the salt could be tasty or different for them. Mm-hmm. And then they have an upset stomach, and you start seeing some vomiting and stuff, which could be the result of that. Mm-hmm. So now you're trying to get into your veterinarian's office to see what's going on when all that is a simple cure by just making sure their feet are cleaned after they've been out on a street or pathway that's been freshly treated as well.
I would think it's really important also to watch out, as you're saying, as you're driving on the streets. Most of the sidewalks are clear, and that's another example of why you need to plow or shovel your sidewalks, because there are people that walk their dogs. You don't want them walking out in the street. And then when it gets dark and the dog still needs to get walked at 5:30, 6 o'clock at night, people are still driving on the streets at that time. And,
dark.
You don't want a tragedy right there.
Yeah. Absolutely. Good safety tip. And I think the last one that I would just mention, too, is that, if you do live in a community where there's a lot of cats that are outdoor cats, stray cats, community cats, especially at this time of year, especially those that maybe work later into the evening and they get home and they go in the house, their car, the engine's still warm. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times you'll have cats that will come up underneath and get close to the engine above the tire well. And you want to make sure when you go out in the morning, maybe you just tap the hood, wait a few seconds before you start that car up, would be a nice suggestion. Some people toot their horn really quick. Maybe
you
don't want
to
do that when you
before
come
you
in
start
at 4, 5, or 6 in the morning, may not. But you just want to make sure you give a cat a few seconds to get out of there before you start your engine. So those are just some quick weather tips that I want to talk about. And I guess if there was one more to throw in there, Sean, is that proper grooming at this time of year is really important, especially for those. Because when you have a dog that has a good thick coat, let's say a Nordic breed husky, that's their insulation, right? It's their insulation in the summertime. It's their insulation in the wintertime. And if your dog is not properly groomed, his insulation isn't working. So that can cause them to be too cold or too hot, depending on the time of year. So grooming is really important, especially for those dogs that have a coat.
Yep. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a professional grooming date, right? It could just be a regular brushing.
A nice brushing would work really, really well.
Yeah. Usually the protective coat is all over my sofa. That's the bigger problem there, right?
Yep.
With the long-haired and fluffy dogs.
Yep. Yeah. So even short-coated dogs, they still have – they shed as well. So you want to make sure that – just give them a quick brushing.
Yeah. John Perrault, my guest here this morning on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR-FM, talking about cold weather and pets and all the good tips that you have to keep in mind this time of the year. Are there a lot of stray or feral cats still trying to survive around this time of the year? What happens with those?
You know what? Last year, because we have a community cat program, for those that don't know, we had this phenomenal group, Animal Dreams, that did a lot of TNR in our community. And quite a few years ago, they were losing their home and had nowhere to go. And they were debating about whether they needed to close up, all volunteer run organization. And we offered them space within our building. We put a shed on our property. We worked really closely together. It worked great. And a couple of years ago, we decided to merge. So they became Animal Dreams is now our community cat program, Berkshire Main Size Community Cat Program. And last year, it was like they did, let's see how many we did. I think it was like 210 cats that we went out in throughout Berkshire County that we trapped, neutered, spayed and neutered, and then put back with a caregiver who was caring for them. We just don't take a cat, fix it, and put it back unless we go through all the responsibilities that it is to care for them when they're out there. And I think we finished up the year doing a big trapping of like 80 cats from one property.
From one property.
Wow. So that was our last. And we normally don't trap in the wintertime. Mm. We wait till spring before we get going again. Mm. Wintertime is, again, for the weather, a really tough time to do that.
So where are those cats in the winter, you think?
You know what? They all have housing. There's a food source. There's someone watching over them. Mm. So now they're not reproducing. Mm-hmm. They're spayed and neutered. They've got a rabies vaccine in them. Some other things that we do as well before we release them. Mm-hmm. And normally they go on to live great lives because that's what they know.
Yeah, they're outdoor cats.
The population, they don't allow new cats in because they're territorial. They have their colony. They keep it. And eventually that colony will die off. And there's scientific proof that it's for them, that's the life they know and have. And if they've got some people watching over them, they could live a long and happy life doing that.
So really hard, if not impossible in some ways, to convert a feral cat into a house pet, right?
Well,
why is that?
Well, the great thing about that is a lot of times, you know, is it a true feral? Is it just a stray that hooked up with this colony? And so a lot of times you really don't know that from being able to handle them or not.
So if you just see a cat walking down, going, crossing the street or going from house to house,
it could live with your neighbor. Yeah. Someone may own that cat. Uh-huh. Absolutely. So we'll talk about microchipping in a minute too, because would help. But one of the things I want to say about that is that when we do the trapping, that if there are some young cats or after being trapped, we realize it's a friendly cat, then that would then be transferred to our shelter. Mm. And those cats would be spayed and neutered. Then they would be offered up for adoption upstairs because community cats are on a second level.
Okay.
So they're able to find that home. Mm. But those that we feel that aren't handleable and are fractious and, you know, are scared, those would normally spayed and neutered and get returned as long as they're healthy back to their colony.
So when a cat comes into you that way, you can tell immediately whether it's a friendly cat or a feral cat. What are the signs for that?
If someone can't catch them and we have to use our community cat program, they do the evaluation once we get the cat. Sometimes they're scared. It takes a few days.
Right.
But you could tell which cats are used to people and some that were born in the wild that have never been touched. You can certainly most of the time tell the difference between those type of kitties, and those are the ones that go back out. Mm-hmm. And kittens, when we trap kittens and gather kittens, those go into foster homes, and they make sure that they're using a litter box and they're friendly and they get socialized. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every year we do 20 or 30 kittens that come from our community cat program that aren't being put back outside. Mm-hmm. They're put in someone's home where it's nice and warm and they get, you know, great meals every day and things like that. Yeah. So
that's great too. And so you mentioned microchipping.
Yeah.
How can that help? And and cats.
Yep. You know what? Microchipping has been around for a long time. And when it first came out, I'm like, how's this going to work? Who's going to have this? Mm-hmm. Right. But it actually works out really well. You know, your veterinarians normally have scanners, your animal control officers have scanners. Obviously our shelters have scanners. And when an animal comes in, stray or even owned, we're able to put the wand over it and see if it's been previously microchipped.
Yeah. Kind of like going under the gantry for the easy pass, right?
They know when you're there and go through, right? So so we're able to reconnect a pet with its owner. And, you know, sometimes it's gone through two new owners or it's got lost. Someone else kept it for a year or two, gave it to somebody else, and all of a sudden it comes through as a stray. We scan it. And we find the original owner from 2 years ago that had been looking for their pet. So those situations happen as well.
So there's a central database, basically, of this.
Yep. And it's a little chip of basically a name, address, phone number, veterinarian, things like that.
So all that data is contained right there.
Yep. And you know what? We place 800-plus animals every single year. And every single animal that leaves our building is chipped.
It's just a little chip that goes under the skin.
Yep.
Is it always in the same spot?
Yep. No, in between your shoulder blades.
Okay.
And then we do a lot of free microchipping clinics throughout the year. I think last year we did four or five. So we microchipped almost 1,200 animals last year. So especially with our free clinics as well. So we did, let's see how many more microchips we did. We did 1,130. Oh, wow. So it's 70 more than the previous year. And you can come into the shelter at any time. It's like $25. We could chip your animal. You just got to call and we set you up an appointment. We can have that done. If you go into our wellness clinic and you're having your dog or cat spayed and neutered, that's another service we can offer you there.
So more and more
people are microchipping.
Yeah.
And
very affordable too. I think of the cost of an Apple AirTag, which I know some people will try and put on their dogs and things, and that has some limited return on that. I'm sure it could work in some situations, but the microchip is something where no matter where that animal goes, if he gets found, you can get him back to the owner.
And when we talk about canines, right, we have the city contract for housing the city strays. We work with the police department on that. And last year, we reunited 146 stray dogs with their owners. And that is up by 29 over the previous year. And our reclaim rate, Sean, was 94%. So I think there was like, 155. 146 of those went back to their owners. 91% of the 94% that got reclaimed went back within 24 hours.
Wow.
So, we put it out there in social media and people know who owns it. And so we've had that relationship with the city and getting dogs back to their owners.
How important is the social media portion of it? Because I see that shared a lot, obviously.
It has become huge.
I've liked the Berkshire Humane Society, and, you know, I'm kind of in that area, too. But just to see that someone, you know, sometimes people make assumptions that they've got a lost pet, and, you know,
someone's not caring for it.
And that may or may not be true, right?
Right. So we always say no negative comments. We're just trying to locate the owner. Yeah. So we, we have 94% because of the social media and how that's grown and how people in Pittsfield know if they lost their dog, this is, you know, let's check out or give the shelter a call. We're there 7 days.
Yep.
So
how important is it for people to share those posts when they see them?
Oh, very, 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 very important.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we can get up to 95 or 96% if more people shared. But the other thing we do is we don't charge, right? So if you can pick your animal up less than 24 hours, We don't fine. Historically, we could have charged like $40 fine for every day they were there until the owner picked them up. They pick them up within that first. We don't. You know,
I'm sure you get some people come in and
proof of rabies, and
they'll want to donate to the shelter, of course, right? When they pick up their animal, hopefully.
Oh, that does not normally happen.
You would think that would be the first thing people would say.
You know what? A nice thank you is great, and let's try and make sure that doesn't happen again. You don't have your license. We can sell them one at the shelter, proper rabies vaccine, obviously, in order to do that. If the dog isn't spayed or neutered, it's a higher rate to license. We can help you with spaying and neutering as well. So that's something where I think that's pretty amazing. I think if you look around the country, a 94% for a city size of city of Pittsfield is pretty incredible. So it's neighbors helping neighbors.
Yeah, it can be tough too. I'll tell you when you have a dog that likes to run, and for whatever reason you lose control of them, which has happened to everybody who's been a dog owner at one point or another.
Frequent flyers, and we do have a few of those.
You get panicked though,
and
right?
And when the dog comes in, we know his name, where he lives, the owner, and we don't even have to chip then. We do have a few frequent flyers, and there are dogs that are just have the knack of getting loose, and we also have a few people that have a knack of just opening their door and letting them out. So, and then fines do start happening with frequent flyers.
That used to be much more common, though, right? For people, they would just let their dog out. They'd roam around the neighborhood, and they would come back. I mean, I knew people that did that for many, many years.
Yep.
Obviously, even when there were leash laws, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. If you remember, Sean, years ago, you could drive down the street and see dogs chained out to doghouses while people work during the day.
Right.
Right? When's the last time you saw a dog chained to a doghouse?
I hope I never see it again.
Right. So, I mean, communities certainly come a long, long way.
Yeah.
And
those images are heartbreaking for sure.
Yeah. But back in the day, you know, that's how they thought they needed to keep their dog and, you know, go to work in the morning and tie him out and take him out when you come out. And then eventually, you know, is there less work when you leave him out there longer? Oh, he loves being out there. Next thing you know, now you have a dog that's permanently chained to his doghouse, which is horrific for sure.
Yeah. And that's why there are organizations like the Berkshire Humane Society making sure that we're keeping good care of our animals and being able to be there for adoptions and for obviously for returning pets to their owners, the wayward pets, if you will, right? Tell us about the current status of the shelter right now. Do you have a lot of dogs and cats? Do you have fewer than usual? How are things
going?
Well,
you know, at this time of year, we're probably hovering in the 80-something animals in our building. And that may include a few foster care numbers, but we're in about the 80s, which is probably where we normally are at this time of year.
Seems like a lot.
Yeah, but last year we housed over 1,500 animals, which is up 127 from the previous year. So our numbers are going up a bit. A lot of that, I believe, has to do with housing issues and the economy.
We have 1,500 animals at one time?
No. Throughout the year, right? Our length of stay for each animal has risen by a few days per animal. It's normally the average stay of a cat, I think, is 29 days. Average stay of a dog is like 17. So, and that's from when they come in to when they leave. So, you know, those are up, which obviously the longer they're with us, the more it costs as well. But it is, there's many people out there that need help. So we get a lot of pet retention programs, right? So for us, it's how do we keep that animal in the home? What can we do to help you to keep your animal in your home and not in our building? Because it's already in a home.
Yeah.
There's a problem. How can we help them solve that problem so we don't end up having to find that animal a new home? Yeah. We already got enough that we have in our shelter in need of home. So,
and what are some of the stories that go behind those animals coming to you? Some of them we talked about stray or missing or whatever. Some of them might be, are they from, you know, puppy litters and things like that? Or are they just people who can no longer take care of their pets and have to give them up or they're moving? What are some of the scenarios?
I think the biggest story we have now, housing is by far the biggest, right? But the need out there, believe it or not, is pet food.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We almost doubled what we did the previous year. So we handed out almost, we had 7,100 requests for pet food.
Wow.
During 2025, handed out close to 50,000 pounds of dry food. That's not counting all the canned food that we give out as well.
Where do you get all
and
that food?
And that's growing. Some of which is donated.
Okay, good.
There are people that give us donations and support.
Yeah.
We have some foundations. So we now work with Meals on Wheels. So we work with the Meals on Wheels program, you know, Elder Services and Be Fair and us. And we provide the food and they keep track of who needs what. And every month we provide pet food for people that can't, that can't get out of their homes.
That's a great connection there, too, because there are a lot of folks that aren't able to get out and get their own food, but then they also are taking care of a pet, which might be, you know, a very, very important thing in their life, right, to have that. And so, you know, you don't want them making that choice between their own food and the pet food.
Yep. And we give it out. It's once a month, and we say we supplement. So we'll give you about a month's 4 weeks. We'll give you about 2 weeks worth of food. We track how many animals, you know, you tell us how many animals you have and their weights, and we give you the amount of food. We can buy in bulk now. We have recyclable bags specifically for our pet food bank. People can come in once a month, and sometimes we get extra stuff where we share it with them as well. We have, as you know, this is a very generous community. So the amount of pet supplies that get donated that we offer up for people in the food bank, from leashes to jackets to crates to food dishes to grooming supplies, all things like that. So when people come in every month for their food, there's other things that they can certainly look at as well.
What are some of the guidelines for donating those things? What are you looking for?
You know what? We take those items. Nope, they don't have to be new, but they've got to be in pretty good shape.
Okay.
You know, we don't want the grooming brush that has half its bristles left, or we don't want a crate that's all rusted and dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, if it's, you know, we don't need used litter boxes, things like that. But if it's something that's fairly new or gently used, we put it all back to good use. if we can't use it in the shelter, it goes into a free bin. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we have a big area outside in the summertime as mm-hmm. people drive by, even after hours, that they could check things out. And inside we have a spot in our lobby where they can go. Mm-hmm. And you'd be surprised, cat towers and all sorts of different things that people that would love to have something for their pet but can't afford it, they come in. Not only are they getting their food, they realize, wow, my cat would like this. Is it okay that I take this? So, and it's sort of self-policed. And overall, you know, people aren't greedy. Mm-hmm. They take what they need and they leave. Mm-hmm. And I would say, you know, the thing that amazed me the most is how appreciative people are. And how thankful they are. And it just keeps that program just keeps growing day and day and day. And we're looking to increase, but we go to North County. We've got a couple of churches in Williamstown, Friendship Center up in North Adams, Paradise, our location down in Great Barrington as well. So there's lots of different places that if you're in need of pet food that you can reach out. In December, we had a couple family foundations that gave us some money. We bought a ton of dog and cat food. And in over a 2-day period, in December, we went down to Great Barrington. We went up to North Adams and then back to Pittsfield the following day on a Sunday. And we handed out almost 8,000 pounds of food to people.
Was that the drive-through?
That was the drive-through. Yeah. Tell us
about that. How did that idea come to be?
Well, you know, I think it came about when the government shut down and we have government workers losing and the economy was, I mean, we were going through a time and we were seeing all these food pantries stepping to the plate and going the extra mile. And I'm like, you know, we should do that for our pet food bank as well, because maybe there's someone that just needs it. It was around the holidays, right? Heating bills, electric, you name it.
Everything hit at the same
time. Everything is coming. So
I hate to say it, but we've got another one potentially coming tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right? We don't even know what's happening there.
Yep. So what we decided to do is, you know what? No questions asked. All you can do is drive through. We'll come up. We'll give you a bag of dog food, bag of cat food. You got two cats. Here's 2 6-pound bags of cat food for you. You got 4 dogs. You know, here's 4 bags of dog food for you. And it was close to 8,000 pounds that we gave out over those couple of days.
Wow, that's amazing.
People even walked. North Adams, we were car hardware. People walked down from neighborhoods and grabbed food. They had wagons and they drove up and very appreciative. And these are people, some learned about our food bank and are going to get on our monthly food bank. And others just said, you know what, around the holidays, this really goes a long way. Can't thank you enough. And it was just something extra that we wanted to do to continue to keep pets in their homes. And with pet food being one really huge issue out there for people, this is one way that, you know, we're selfish. We don't want them in our building, right?
Yeah, well,
it's already in a good home. Let's just help them with a little bit of pet food. And, you know, it's a temporary program, right? You're not on there for the lifetime of your pet. And you're not allowed to add pets to your home while you're in the food bank. And if you have a dog or cat, when we can get to it, you allow us at an extremely reduced rate to spay and neuter from some grants that we have, the pets from our food bank. And, you know, we even have people, Sean, that are homeless that still have their pets that live in their cars come in.
They're not going to give them up.
From our free bins. And you know what? These animals are extremely well cared for. Yeah. And a lot of people are living in their cars. I'm going to say a lot. There's a few.
Yeah.
Because their pets are the most important things in their lives. And if it means living in their car to keep their pet, then they're going to do that. Yeah. And these pets are really well cared for.
Mm-hmm. And they're people with big hearts. You know, you just mentioned, you know, you're not allowed to add dogs or cats or whatever while you're in the food bank. And that makes perfect sense. But you can imagine those same people would give up something that they need for themselves to bring another dog because the dog needs a good home, right?
Yep.
So there's always that. And I would imagine that's another consideration when you're placing animals in homes to say, okay, this dog needs to be the only animal in the house or the only dog in the house. You know, that you have to ask, well, how many dogs do you already have, right?
Yeah, every animal, there's requirements, right? And our goal is to place that animal one last time that's permanent forever home. And most of the time that happens, but once in a while it just doesn't work out, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. We'll certainly take that animal back, and we learned about what didn't work in that home, and, you know, we maybe do things a little bit different the next time around. But you were talking about that people would do anything, right? Which brings me to our Safe Pet program, right? Our Safe Pet program are really for people in a crisis situation other than people that are unhoused. We would take that animal on a surrender, but we can't put someone that's having housing issues into our Safe Pet program, because our Safe Pet program is still a temporary, people in temporary crisis. Mm. And I'm sad to say at the moment, our housing is not a temporary crisis, right? It's not a 1-2 week, 30 day thing. It's much more than that. But we have people that need to go to have a med adjustment and have nobody. Mm. So they don't get the med adjustment because there's nobody to care for their pets.
Right,
that's what the Safe Pet program does. Someone that needs to go to rehab that was just in the hospital in an emergency, I can't go to rehab, I got to go home, I got nobody for my cat. Mm. That's what the Safe program's for. Mm. Victims of domestic violence, that's what the Safe Pet program's for. So, and these are people that aren't fleeing that domestic violence because of their pet. These are people not going to rehab. These are people not getting med adjustments and things like that. Because of what you said earlier, their pet is that important to them.
Yep. And that's such an important service. We can talk more about that right after the break, too. We're going to take this top of the hour break. We're speaking with John Perrault. He is the executive director of the Berkshire Humane Society, long-serving executive director as well, right? Just celebrated, what, 40 years at the...
I am 41 going on 42.
Congratulations to that.
Thank you.
And I do sympathize with people who have been with one organization for a long time. I can sort of identify
that as well. Yep. But you know what?
It's a calling, right?
I wouldn't have it any other way.
I hear you. All right, John Perrault, will be right back in just a moment. This is 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. You're listening to Morning Drive, and we'll be right back after this. Here we go.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Oh, yeah! 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, UCPWMA.org/jobs.
Do you have a favorite show on WTBR FM? Did you miss the last episode? We've got good news for you. Most of our shows are now available on podcast. You can subscribe to your favorite and have the latest episode downloaded to your device automatically on Apple, Google, Amazon Music, Stitcher, or Overcast. Go to WTBRFM.com/podcasting and find out more today. WTBR-FM, for the love of radio.
Where does democracy actually begin? Well, it begins right here at home, at our local city and school meetings, the place where really big decisions are made that affect you and your family directly. With good TV coverage, these decisions are transparent. Our residents are well-informed, and elected officials are held accountable. Without reliable coverage, these decisions go under the radar. Support PCTV's local meeting coverage today. Pittsfield Community Television. Democracy starts here.
Good afternoon, my radio listening friends. Are you ready to discover songs you love in a whole new light? Well, tune in to Newman's Undercover.
Hello, Newman.
Where we shine a spotlight on the best and most fun and special cover songs from all musical styles. Join me every Tuesday from noon to 1 p.m. on 89.7 FM, WTBR Community Radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at Sandrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I'm Sean Sear here with you this morning, 8:04 in the morning. It's about 4 degrees outside right now, and We're here with you live and local on January 29th, a Thursday morning with John Peralt, my guest, executive director of the Berkshire Humane Society. Right back to that conversation in just a moment. First, let's get to our weather forecast one more time from the National Weather Service. Here we go. Berkshire Weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Cold weather advisory in effect from 7 p.m. this evening to 11 a.m. EST Friday. Today, partly sunny. Cold with highs around 16. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Gusts up to 25 miles per hour this afternoon. Wind chill values as low as 9 below this morning. Tonight, mostly cloudy in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Cold with lows around 5 below. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Wind chill values as low as 24 below. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yep, it's cold. And,
I was going to say, it's cold just listening to that report. Oh, my God.
And, you know, I don't know if it's me or what, but I mean, in any other time period, if it got to like zero or, you know, 24 below wind chill or whatever, I would think that's crazy cold. And it's been that cold for so long that now we just say, it's just another day. We walk outside, go to the car. It doesn't feel to me like anything extraordinary. Maybe we've just gotten used to it.
Yeah, I don't.
The blood thickens up or something. I don't know.
I don't mind. I'd rather have cold than snow. And yeah. I realize, you know, that we need our ski mountains to be able to thrive and everybody working. So I get that. People that rely on plowing, I'm very happy for them.
Yeah, they're having a good year.
But I look like this morning, there are kids that walk to school.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know? And
luckily,
and
Pittsfield has the Polar Express where they are picking up the walkers.
Are they picking up
on the really cold mornings? Which is good.
But even the kids standing out
for the bus, it's pretty cold out there for 10 minutes.
You know? I pass a few of them in the morning as they're sort of dancing and trying to stay warm and keep moving. And but it is certainly cold out there. And again, stay warm, everybody. Stay indoors and check on your neighbors, too.
Yeah, that's a good
thing. Check on your neighbors. And I can tell you this cold this week. You know, we had that big storm Sunday night into Monday. Mm-hmm. And at 2 in the morning, my phone was going off.
Really?
And that I had a fire alarm down in our Great Barrington location.
Oh, okay.
So I had to get up, unbury my vehicle, and drive down at 2 in the morning. And, it's going right down Route 7. The roads were pretty clear, and they did a great job. But I tell you, get down there, and a broken pipe.
That's it.
So which then leaked down from the second floor to the first floor into our basement of our feline adoption and boarding facility. And got into a fire detector alarm and went off. And
well, that's good that the system worked.
It, you know what? That the water got to where it needed to go for an alarm to go off. So, yeah, that was. But so we're doing a little minor repair there as well. But just why I always tell people, you know, make sure at this time of year, especially if you have elderly neighbors, just check on and make sure everybody's okay.
Yeah.
You know, neighbors helping neighbors.
Yep, for sure. And keep an eye out for, you know, maybe a neighbor's walkway that hasn't been shoveled when it normally would be or something like that.
Yep.
They might need a little extra help.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So that's a good tip for everybody.
Yeah.
Be good neighbors. The one thing, and I know we're probably limited in some time, that I'd really love to talk about is our wellness clinic.
Well, let's do that.
You know what? Last year, we helped 4,633 animals through our wellness clinic.
Mm-hmm. And this is the clinic that's located on Dalton
Avenue. Mm-hmm. It's up by 321 animals from the previous year. Mm. We spayed and neutered at the clinic 1,406. That's up 441 spays and neutered from the previous year.
So that's a huge need out there.
Well, you know, we're starting to grow some hours. Mm. And still, I think there's questions about, is it an emergency clinic? Is this where I go if I have an emergency after hours? And it's not. It's really a wellness clinic that does the basic things for your pet. Mm. It's for people that don't have a veterinarian, can't afford a veterinarian, have questions, concerns. You're always welcome to call the clinic and have things, you know, talk to somebody there to see if you can be seen, if it's something we offer or don't. But I also have to say, if you really have an emergency, we don't have an emergency clinic here. And if your veterinarian is closed, you are going to South Deerfield, to Vesh. You are going to Latham, Capital District. You are going to Hartford. That's just the way it is in the Berkshires when you have that emergency. And even specialty care, a lot of specialty care now is being referred out. But for our goal is to try and keep the people that can't afford to get to the vets, keep their animals healthy, so they're not having those emergencies, right? Yeah. So I think we fit into a niche within our community. And I do think because of grants and other opportunities we have, that we can offer some spays and neutered as a discounted rate. So if there's anybody listening that hasn't been able to afford to get their dog or cat spayed or neutered and know that it's important, there's lots of great reasons why they should be. They can certainly give our Berkshire Maine Society's Wellness Clinic or the shelter a call. Mm-hmm. It's 447-7878, extension 160 is our clinic. They'd be more than happy to help you. They're located at 289 Dalton Avenue. That continues to grow. I think we'll continue to grow the staff there. There's a huge need out in the community.
And that's how this all started, right? Because there was such a need.
The biggest need was for our own shelter animals, Sean, right? Remember, yeah. I said last year we took in 1,500 animals. Coming out of COVID, our veterinarians couldn't even keep up with their clients. Allen Heights had closed, so where were all those clients going?
Yep.
And then here's the Berkshire Humane Society that our local veterinarians did a ton of discount, a lot of work for, and they just couldn't do that anymore. So we were left with how are our animals going to be spayed or neutered, how are they going to be vaccinated, how are they going to be seen, how do they get health exams. You know,
that could be a real backlog if you didn't have that. Would you even get it done?
It wouldn't work.
Yeah.
We needed to. So as we saw Allen Heights closing, it was just an opportunity for us to say, hey, you know what? This is where we are. This is how it is all over the rest of the country. Mm-hmm. What we had, and I thought was a unicorn that worked. The collaboration with our local vets was so great, but they just couldn't. They just can't handle the capacity, basically, to do that as well.
Not enough veterinarians for the number of animals
and during COVID, population pet ownership grew.
Yeah,
And you know what?
The COVID puppies, right?
Yep. And there's a few less veterinarians out there now than there were prior to that as well. You have some retiring, and
that's just not unique to Berkshire County either. There are fewer veterinarians nationwide,
and they're working on that problem. Mm-hmm. And I think 2 years ago they said we're not going to be able to turn this around for at least another 8 to 10 years, and they're coming up with, you know, adding more schools and, you know, looking at the requirements. And
didn't you have a good connection with the Tufts people also?
I think we talked about that before. I had a great connection with a Dr. Emily McCobb, who went on to UC Davis, which was a bummer. But, you know, ultimately.
And that's another really great animal program.
Yep. So it was awesome for her and horrible for, I think, everybody else in Massachusetts that used Emily McCobb as a resource. But what ended up happening was that, you know, the goal was for us to get some you know, people that were going to be veterinarians in to do an internship at our facility, or why they were staying with us. You know, maybe they could go to Pittsfield Vet, South Street Vet, you know, Berkshire Veterinarian, Greylock, and then try and get some people to realize that the Berkshires is a great place to live, work and have fun, and that if we get some interns in, maybe that they could strike a friendship up with somebody, or really like a certain veterinary practice, that they'd be willing to stay on and help grow the need that we have here in the Berkshires. So it's still a goal. We're still working towards that. But again, we provide most of your basic care. And we can go and we can, you know, if you think your dog or cat has an ear infection, something we could look at, flea and tick issues, all the basic things our clinic can handle. But when you start going up and beyond to some more elaborate
medical
issues, needs, and you don't have a veterinarian, we're also going to be referring you to the Deerfields and Lathams and things like that as well.
And we don't have a 24-hour emergency clinic in the Berkshires because we just don't have the numbers here where they do in the Pioneer Valley or Albany.
Yeah, and you know, we tried it. Dr. Reynolds tried it. He had emergency ER of the Berkshires, and he did it for quite a few years and couldn't get the help. He found himself doing most of it. And he had his daytime practice that he ran, right? And eventually he realized that it couldn't, the demand wasn't there to make it a good business decision either. And more your veterinarians, because of compassion fatigue, have this work-life balance as well. They don't want to be getting called at 2-3 in the morning, nor is that when they want to work. And you know what? There may be a couple dozen emergencies a night, but that's not going to keep that nighttime emergency clinic operating. So you are going to bigger communities that can support that. We just haven't been able to support. It would be obviously, you know, if there's one thing everybody tells me about, you know, the gap in access to care in the Berkshires, that's what it is. But I do not see at the moment Berkshire Humane Society filling that gap, because I just don't think it's feasible in our small community for that to happen at the moment.
But as we know, pets have emergencies just like people have emergencies.
They do.
I know of a number of people that were pet owners that have taken their pets to the South Deerfield, and they just say, well, you know, something happened, you know, whatever it was, some emergency, whether it was heart.
I was just there on Monday.
Were you really?
So, No, actually Tuesday morning.
How was that facility?
You know what? I've used Latham. I've used South Deerfield. This time I chose to go to South Deerfield. I had a dog that needed his gallbladder removed and some other things. And so we've had a really good working relationship with them, and they've done some great stuff for our shelter and orthopedics and stuff like that. So I felt compelled for what they've given back to us that, you know, so I may drive a few extra minutes to get there. And I just feel really comfortable with their staff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to have a connection as well.
Right.
And I have a really great connection with South Deerfield, but Latham is amazing as well.
Yeah, well, it's good to know that at least, you know, it's within an hour's drive, and if you have an emergency with your pet, you can go
up Route 9. I think it was an hour and 17 minutes, and because of the storm, I went the Pike to 91, but it was certainly well worth it. My dog's doing great, so very excited about that. But the emergency clinics is something that. The wellness clinic is not. You know, we're hoping to grow into some urgent care related stuff, but again, that's just part of our growth process. And sometimes we can do a little bit of urgent care, sometimes we cannot. And like our veterinarians now, we're getting booked.
Are you?
So yeah. Huh. Yep. Yep. Sometimes you may call for something basic and it may be 2 weeks before we can get you in. So yeah, we're not 2 months out, but the need is there.
And it shows the growth of being able. So that was obviously the right move, I'm sure.
Yep.
There were probably some things like, okay, do we want to get into this venture? This is another big, huge thing, you know, and getting the building and staffing and all the other things, all the other questions that come along with making a new big service like that.
You asked me 10 years ago, would we ever be in this arena? I would say absolutely not. The framework of how we care for our animals and the collaboration we have with the local veterinarians is exactly what we need, and it works. And then obviously everything changed and we had to pivot as well as our veterinarians. So I feel we still work hand in hand with them. There's a lot of people out there in need. And for us, it's how do we reach North County? How do we reach South County? Transportation's a big barrier.
Right.
You know, finance is a big barrier. Transportation's a big barrier. Yep. So those are things we're working on now to see how we can get through some of those barriers.
Yeah, we were just talking about that with Liana Toscanini last week on the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires, and serving an entire county like Berkshire County, even though we're small in terms of population, we're very large in terms of real estate here.
Right.
It's just a huge county to have to traverse. So if you're trying to serve people in the north part of the county all the way down to the south part of the county, it's the transportation and it's just the logistics, right, of getting there. And so certainly the Berkshire Humane Society has a presence, as you mentioned.
Yeah. And we'll be Great back Barrington. This year. We'll be doing more. You know, it was Bishop West Real Estate gave us a property on Summer Street. We went into a storefront and offered free rabies and microchips and had people lined up down the road. So there'll be a lot more of that happening this year as well, in all different parts of the county to try and reach them. But still working on that transportation barrier, at least to get them to the clinic for spays and neuters and wellness exams.
It's always
things
tough
like that.
In Berkshire County. We can all identify with that. Executive Director of the Berkshire Humane Society, John Peralt, my guest here this morning on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR-FM. If you're just joining us, and we're talking about all the things going on. I want to just toss out there Steve and Lisa Caparizzo. And that, you know, Steve, obviously, for a lot of people that follow him, had a tragedy in his family a week or two ago, lost his wife. Both fierce advocates for pets and adoption. I know that there are a lot of times where the pet of the week or whatever that he does, Pet Connection, I think, on Channel 10, involves pets from Berkshire Humane Society. Yep. Talk about Steve and how important that is.
I met Steve when he was at WWLP, and he was living in Otis, and he was in Springfield, moved over to Albany, stayed in touch with him. And so we go over there. I know Steve well. He's been to many of our events, helps supports us. Pet Connection supports the Berkshire Humane Society. And there was probably, there's no bigger advocate in the Capital District and in the Berkshires than Steve. He's retired, but he continues with his Pet Connection. And Lisa was the driving force behind Pet Connection. You know, it was Steve's idea in the beginning, but once he met Lisa, I think she brought it to another level. They're two phenomenal people that took in, you know, the old and the crippled and hospice dogs and just, you know. And
he has a good part in his heart for the older pets, right? For the ones that might be up there in age, but they're still lovable and, you know, they need a home.
Yeah, and Lisa was diagnosed late in October with a rare but aggressive form of cancer that, you know, took her life a few weeks ago. And our hearts go out to Steve. And if you follow him on social media, he's still struggling at the moment, but he appreciates everybody's comments and feedback. And
it's amazing the network of people that he has that follow him either for the weather or for Pet Connection, both of those things, and really stand behind
him. And you know what? He and I have joked that his animal following is a thousand times greater than his weather following,
because
he doesn't make mistakes. We joke he doesn't make mistakes on Pet Connection, and once in a while he makes them on the weather. But you know what? He used his platform to, I think, further animal welfare in our area, and I am just hoping and praying that you know, Steve will be back, you know what? He will keep doing it. It's probably going to be a bit. And in the meantime, he's got some people, Channel 10, stepping up to the plate and helping him out a bit. And, you know, he had recently started a podcast that he was doing following Pet Connection, and he's got some other ideas. And he's always there with his fundraisers, and he's one of the most giving people that I know. And his life evolves around giving back. And I think the community's giving back now. You know, we've got a lot of people that are donating to their local animal charity, which he asked for, and we've received many donations. Many people are giving to Pet Connection to keep that growing and getting stronger. And ultimately, I think Lisa will continue to help him help more animals as we move forward. But
what's the impact for the Berkshire Humane Society when Steve focuses on an animal from our shelter here in Berkshire County? What happens?
Well, you know what really happens is it brings our reach over to the Capital District, and especially we try and bring in animals that need extra. So if there's a puppy in our shelter, we don't need to bring that over to Steve. We need to bring Steve over the ones that have been with us for a while.
Yeah. Or you need know that, you're going to adopt
or that
out
need
the
puppy. That special home, or maybe have a medical issue. There's a special need there. Those are ones we try and bring over. And so many times we've been able to find them homes. And sometimes it's not in the Berkshires. Sometimes it's over in Mechanicville or Glover's Town or over in the Capital District, which is just over the line, not that far from us.
Yep.
People can still come over. We can do meet and greets. And so Steve is really – it's opened up our adoption region to grow to a larger area as well.
And certainly Channel 10 has a pretty good audience here in Berkshire County as well. You know, that's our media market is the Albany market. So certainly people around here are watching those local newscasts. And to see something, you know, oh, that's our show. Just to bring that level of awareness right to people who are watching here in Berkshire County is one more way, you know, along with, as you mentioned, social media being very powerful. It's probably just a multiple pronged approach to being able to raise awareness and keep that in people's minds.
And I think all three stations, especially 10 because of Steve, but 13, they have a Clear the Shelters that NBC does nationally, which we participate in, and Channel 13's really picked up on that. So I think it's every 6 weeks or so, we go over to Channel 13 with a couple animals. And so now we have 10, we have 13, six has picked up on some stuff. But if you're watching those stations, you've seen over the last 3 to 4 months the number of cruelty cases, the number of abandonments, the number of raids and everything that are happening over there that aren't happening necessarily here in the Berkshires. Not that it doesn't happen once in a while here, but it's almost every day. I was turning on 13 and 10 and seeing a new case go up, and it's scary that that's happening, but it's still out there.
What do you think leads to that? There's probably a multitude of different things that could be behind what's going on. But, you know, you got a house that has just way too many pets, dogs, sometimes horses, right?
If we're talking about hoarding, right?
Yeah.
I think it almost always is mental illness involved. Mm-hmm. It always starts out as well-meaning, mm-hmm. but it gets out of control pretty quickly, especially if the people don't have resources to care.
Or spay and neuter.
Spay and neuter is part of that, right? Mm-hmm. And then it does get overwhelmed. Does it get overwhelmed? Now they get nervous. Now it's, you know, no one can care for these animals but myself. If they're not with me, they're not going to survive. And it just leads down a really bad road, right? Mm. And again, it all has to do with mental health and the organization that goes in. Are they meeting people where they're at? Is it with kindness and compassion? And yes, you need to do some things to rectify and remove animals. And
what does it look like on the back end of that, of an organization that has to come in? And you've probably connected with some of those.
What
does that process look like?
Yeah, we don't have police powers, right? And in Massachusetts, it's Animal Rescue League of Boston and the MSPCA. They have cruelty investigative powers. We can use our local police department, but a lot of times they'll reach out to the MSPCA for advice or to help with, right? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times we see if we can get the animals surrendered, which gives the organization ownership from the beginning.
So that's a legal process.
Which allows us to provide the level of care and find homes or foster homes immediately. Mm. When you get a case where now the animals are evidence, the owners are fighting, don't want to sign them over, now you're housing, and you can be housing large quantities of animals that at the moment you're financially responsible for.
And then they can't go anywhere,
And they can't go anywhere, which is taking up all your resources, and now you can't help the areas in which you truly want to help in or what your mission is geared towards, right? For us, it would be like pet retention if something like that happens. So
do shelters work with each other to help them out?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like right now, the MSPCA, I think we're in South Hadley, took like 135 animals off of a farm. A lot of farm animals. Yeah. Sorry, I can't help with that.
No.
But there are some other animals there. And we've had some hoarding cases here where we've worked with other agencies to come in. So they're going to be surrenders. I've got 80 cats. You know, our shelter can take 45. Can the MSPCA take 15? Could they can take another 10? Mm-hmm. And so that happens quite frequently now where we may take some animals from other people. Rabbits we've taken, I think was the last one we helped out in a few years ago up in the Hilltowns. Mm-hmm. I think we took like 80 poodles.
Right. I think I remember
out of a home. And I think we had 20. There was like three or four organizations that split those. Those were surrendered. Worked with the owner. A few of them were able to go back once they're spayed and neutered and cared for. So yeah, you do have a lot of collaboration amongst the state, and I think the collaboration and the working together is much better now than it's been in the past. We belong to a group called Mass Coalition. So it's made up about 7 or 8 organizations throughout Massachusetts. We get together and we work on common problems. We also have the Mass Animal Coalition, which I sit on the board for that. And that's the organization that hands out money from the license plates. So we give out spay-neuter money. You know, we collaborate with Mass Animal Fund, which is if you're doing your taxes, is a line item where you can give money to the Mass Animal Fund.
And that actually does make a difference?
That makes a huge difference.
Remember, it is tax season, so you're filling out your taxes.
Yep.
That could actually do some good.
Mass Animal Fund gives you vouchers through your animal control officers that will help you spay-neuter. The license plate grant gives grants out to organizations, and through the years, you know, for us, I would say we're over 1,000 animals from the grants we've gotten through Mass License Plate. So when someone calls a shelter and they can't afford to have their cat spayed, chances are if we're giving them a grant, there's a good chance some of that money may have came from the license plate grant to help reduce that cost.
Every little bit helps. That's the answer there. Well, John Perrault, before we got to go here, we talked about so many things, the pet food bank and the pet food drive-through that you did.
We are going to be doing some more in the Hilltowns, to throw that out there for the drive-throughs. Still have some food left over, so I believe we'll be going up into the Beckett area and within the coming weeks.
If people need any of these services, especially the Safe Pet Program where you have a temporary need, how do they get a hold of you?
You know, main number 447-7878. Phones are answered live by a person between the hours of 10 and 4 every day of the week, Sundays from 1 to 4. You know, just got to give us a call, see what the need is, and we'll see how we can help you out or direct you in the right direction where you can get that help.
Yeah. And of course, you're located right there on Barker Road in Pittsfield.
214 Barker Road in Pittsfield.
Great Barrington location.
301 Stockbridge Road in Great Barrington, the Wellness Clinic, 289 Dalton Ave. And don't forget, we still have our two catwalk locations we didn't get to talk about today.
No, we didn't. Next time.
So, next
time. You will be back.
Absolutely.
All right, John Perrell, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sean. Stay warm.
You betcha. Take care, everybody. We'll see you on Morning Drive again tomorrow morning.